This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Have you noticed that things got weird a few years ago? That the world makes less and less sense with every year that goes by? Why did protesters in England, where the police are not armed, shout, "Hands up, don't shoot," at cops who don't carry guns? Isn't it strange that within the blink of an eye, politicians suddenly became unable to explain what a woman is?
A woman can have a penis.
Nick, I'm not... I don't think we can conduct this debate with... You know,
sorry, have I offended you in some
way? No, it's just...
How is it that societies whose stated goal was a world in which all men are created equal became obsessed with dividing themselves along racial lines? Why do multinational corporations stick rainbow flags everywhere? Except in Saudi Arabia, obviously. Do you remember when everyone lost their shit because Donald Trump said, "We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants in this country"? You probably don't, because it wasn't President Trump that said it. It was President Obama. And no one lost their shit, because up until 3 minutes ago, everyone, left and right, understood that countries need borders. And yet, here we are in 2023, where the definition of a woman is now controversial, people breaking into our country illegally is conflated with normal, lawful immigration, and the weird obsession with race just won't go away. And what's strange about it is that if you talk to most people, no one wanted this. So how did it happen? And why did no one say anything? Around 2013, 2014, social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook began to take off. Virtually overnight, the mainstream media began to publish article after article about racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, etc. And this didn't just happen in Britain and America. It happened in places as far and wide as Nigeria, Japan, Cuba, the Philippines, Qatar, and Brazil. The investor Charlie Munger, who's Warren Buffett's right-hand man, said, "Show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcome." What no one realized at the time is that social media rewards certain types of communication. And whatever you reward, you get more of. Social media rewards complaining, outrage, and victimhood. So it produces complaints, outrage, porn, and victims. Why did no one say anything? Well, first of all, some people tried to. J.K. Rowling said something and went from celebrated author to demonized hate figure. Barry Weiss, a journalist at the New York Times, said something. She's no longer at the New York Times. Clinical psychologist Jordan Peterson said something, and now they're trying to take his license to practice away. And despite their efforts, little changed as institution after institution succumbed to the craziness. That in itself is weird. I often found myself naively thinking that all it takes is one more brave, principled, and articulate individual to stand up and say something, and it would all be over. Instead, one after another, these people lost jobs, opportunities, and careers. It's going on right now with Roisin Murphy, who dared to suggest that puberty blockers are a bad idea. The BBC responded by removing her work from their radio lineup. This is despite the fact that the Tavistock Clinic, which administered these puberty blockers, was shut down after the CAS review raised serious concerns about giving these drugs to children. And despite the fact that most people in both Britain and America do not support puberty blockers, gender reassignment surgery, the inclusion of trans women in women's sports, and so on. In other words, prominent, respected, and successful people who speak the truth are punished for saying what most of their fellow citizens believe. Does that make any sense to you? To anyone? So what's going on? People will often use clever-sounding phrases like institutional capture to explain it. But what does that mean exactly? The BBC wasn't physically overrun by a barbarian horde. And I can tell you from personal experience that not everyone at these institutions agrees with what's happening. I once took part in a debate on the BBC in preparation for which I had a call with the producer. In the conversation, she told me how alarmed she herself was by what was going on, but she refused to speak up for herself. Part of this is groupthink, which is when people agree to go along with something because they prioritize harmony within the group over making the right decision. They keep quiet because they know the majority disagree with them and they don't want to be the black sheep of the group. But a related and even more interesting phenomenon is the Abilene paradox. The term was introduced by management expert Jeremy Harvey in the 1970s. It's based on a story he used to tell about a family which is sitting around comfortably playing dominoes in the heat when one of them suggests taking a long trip to Abilene, Texas for dinner. Thinking that's what everyone wants, the individual family members all agree to go. It is only when they return from a hot, dusty, unpleasant trip that they gradually realize that none of them actually wanted to go. They went along not because they were in the minority, but because they all thought they were in the minority. But we are not in the minority. Those of us who believe that children can't consent to serious medical interventions, the rational debate is better than name-calling, that countries need borders, that freedom of expression is better than censorship, we're in the majority. That's why we need the J.K. Rowlings, Barry Weisses, and Jordan Petersons of the world. They shatter the illusion of consensus and give us a fighting chance against the tyranny of the minority. And this is why the way to end cancel culture is to embrace the cancelled, to make sure that people who speak are rewarded for it, and to encourage others to say enough. If you enjoy these monologues, make sure to head on over to my Substack and subscribe. You can read them there weeks ahead of time. Guys, let us take a minute to recommend another podcast.
Did you know the average podcast listener has 6 shows in rotation? So you're most likely not just listening to Trigonometry. Wait. So we know you're cheating on us. This is a disgrace.
Francis, it's okay. The Jordan Harbinger Show is a perfect complement to Trigonometry.
Really?
Absolutely. Just like Trigonometry, Jordan hosts weekly mind-broadening conversations with some of the most fascinating people in the world. But a key difference that I'm a big fan of is that Jordan is focused on pulling actionable, growth-orientated advice from his guests.
I'm looking at his episode list now. There's an episode here where Jordan talks to a hostage negotiator from the FBI who lays out his techniques on how to get people to do what you want them to do by making them like and trust you. Sounds just like me. Except, you know, I'm more SAS.
You can't go wrong with adding the Jordan Harbinger Show to your podcast rotation. Search for the Jordan Harbinger Show, that's H-A-R-B-I-N-G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.